Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, TuneIn, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. Check out any of the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, we got a Bulls showdown in Rio on Friday. The United States with Jimmy Butler just beat Argentina just now. They will be facing off against Spain, which includes Nico Mirotic, and they eliminated France.
Just like we predicted, the big Team USA, Spain showdown. This time, coming to the semifinals, as you mentioned, the past two Olympics, the USA defeated Spain in competitive but not really close gold medal games. Both teams took care of business very well. Team USA, a 105-78 winner over Argentina. The Argentinians had a good start, up 10 points early, and then the Americans got it together, went on, I think, a 27-2 run. Much of that run was marked by Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Kyle Lowry, defensive unit and pairing back there. Jimmy played nearly 24 minutes in this Olympic contest, which was really interesting move by Coach K, because he played 6 minutes, 15 minutes, and about 6 minutes in the previous three contests for Team USA, which were all fairly close games there at the end of pool play. But what'd you make of Jimmy's play? He's kind of a spark plug, it seemed like, for Team USA.
He was. He didn't really do a lot on the offensive end. He shot 3-for-10 from the field, scored 7 points, missed both of his 3-point attempts. But, you know, he kind of set the tone defensively. They got off to that rough start. They were trailing at one point. And then, like you said, they put in the Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Kyle Lowry defensive unit. And, you know, that's just kind of what turned the game around.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting. I mean, they pretty much went to the let Kevin Durant do everything offensively and light it up from behind that arc that feels like it's just an arm's length away for Kevin Durant. He had a big game from behind three-point range. Led everyone with 27 points there for Team USA. And just let Jimmy and Paul George and Kyle Lowry get it after it a little more on the defensive end. So it feels like this is markedly different from the past few games where Team USA is just kind of lackadaisical defensively. I feel like Coach K felt like they needed a turbo boost, a little energy, like, we got to get it together in the defensive end, guys, is what he was kind of telling them. And that's where Jimmy Butler comes in. So, I mean, you can argue it was one of his best defensive games or best games of the Olympics, even though he wasn't great offensively. He made a difference defensively, shot 3-10 from the field, as you said. But good to see Jimmy getting some tick out there. They're going to need that defense again on Friday against Spain, because Spain looked really good against France today. And Mirotic was a big reason why, Sean.
Yeah, he was. He led the game with 23 points. He was playing exactly how I think the Bulls would like to see him play this coming season. He was hitting threes. He wasn't hesitating on his shots. He was playing solid defense. He wasn't locking guys down, but he was giving good effort on that end. You know, he was basically like the idealized version of the player that people think that Mirotic can be. And I think if some of that confidence carries over to the season, then I think the Bulls are going to get a really productive year out of
him. Yeah, he was 5-of-8 on three-pointers, and like you said, showed a lot of confidence. And you watched the game more closely than I did, but I was reading too on Twitter and stuff. People, they were kind of making remarks about how this felt like, I believe it was March 2015, Nico, that rookie season where he tried to find his way for a lot of the year. Tibbs used him at small forward for a while, which I remember one like cold winter night. I think they played the Rockets, and like it worked perfectly for him or something. And then they kept trying the Nico at small forward experiment, and then it stopped working when Nico had to guard teams with a small forward who was really good and stuff, or gave him problems defensively. But it felt like that March 2015, I think the Bulls had a few injuries, and Nico had a bigger role. They slid him into power forward, and that was probably one of the best months, if not the best month, of his 2 years with the Bulls. Did it feel like that a little bit to you? And can he carry this over into the season, I guess, would be another question, because we've seen it carry over for many people playing international basketball before, but that doesn't necessarily mean for everyone.
Right. I think the fact that he pretty much has, and obviously when we've talked about this before, but Fred hasn't said 100% who's going to be the starter, but yeah, it's pretty obvious. Like, with
If he shoots like that, he's got to be the starter.
Well, but I think just the fact that he can shoot like that. Last year in training camp, it was a little bit of a open question what was going to happen in terms of the starting front court, because there was, you know, the Gasol-Noah thing never really worked in the last season under Thibodeau. And then, you know, you have a new coach coming in, and then Mirotić was starting, and then the Noah wasn't happy. But I think this year going in, everybody just kind of knows what the deal is. They know that Robin Lopez is the starting center, and since Taj Gibson isn't the shooter that Mirotić is, then I think everybody kind of knows that Mirotić is going to be the starting power forward, and so having that pressure not on him to earn a starting spot in training camp, I think might be good for his confidence.
Yeah, and the thing, we've mentioned this about Nico before, and I mean, this comes straight from the horse's mouth, too. He's talked about confidence being an issue for him, some kind of mental blocks he has, where if he has a bad shooting night, he lets it get to him too much and kind of snowball. So the Bulls can't have that. And like you said, last year, I mean, in a way, Hoiberg gift-wrapped him the starting spot because he didn't really earn it. But if the expectation is also clear that he's going to have it, and the only other person, I guess, that would provide you any trouble is a guy like Taj Gibson, who's always taken a backseat and done whatever role the Bulls need him in his entire NBA career, there might be less drama, because there's like never drama surrounding Taj other than how hard of an, or how badly of an injury he has that he's going to play through. Like, that's the drama you get with Taj. You don't get off-court drama with him or anything. So Nico needs to be relaxed for him to have success this year for the Bulls. He needs to be relaxed Friday, too, if Spain's going to have a chance against Team USA. Because that was a much better Team USA than we'd seen the previous three pool play games. And people were going into it thinking, if Team USA plays like they did against France and Serbia, they're going to have a lot of trouble in the semifinal round in the gold medal match. And keep in perspective, that Spain beat France by 25. That's the same French team that Team USA just beat a few days ago by 3 points. So, yes, USA-Spain is going to be fun. Pau Gasol will be involved, too. I'd still favor the Americans, I think.
I would, too, but I don't think it's nearly a lock. And, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If you made me pick, I don't really gamble, but if you made me bet on which team is going to win, I would still say the U.S. because the U.S., top to bottom, that roster is more talented than Spain's roster. But I don't feel great about it. I mean, Spain started the tournament 0-2. They lost their first two games kind of unexpectedly, one to Croatia. And then, like, they just...
Maybe it's the Joe Madden with the leadoff hitter Dexter Fowler always tells him, you go, we go. Maybe Spain just goes as Nikola Mirotić goes. Maybe that's the X factor.
Maybe that's the X factor. That's very possible. But you know, since they started the tournament 0-2, they seem like they've really gotten it together, and they've looked a lot more like the Spain that, you know, we've seen in previous Olympics and previous international tournaments, probably, you know, the second most talented team in the world. And they've been playing better together throughout the group play since those first two games than the U.S. has. So I think they have a chance. If you told me that on Friday the U.S. lost, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be blown away by any means.
I think Coach K will be quick, too, to go back to that Jimmy Butler lineup, Kyle Lowry, Paul George more involved, if need be, just because he saw what it did to kind of jolt them against Argentina. He knows he might need that again, because, again, like, those first few minutes for 6 minutes for USA against Argentina, I mean, they're just giving up layups. They're giving up easy shots, the Americans, where people getting beat off the dribble, no rotation. And then, like, you see Jimmy come in. He had a steal and went, like, not coast to coast, but about three-quarters of the way down the court by himself for, like, an and-one. But he had that because he rotated from the weak side up to the top after they'd trapped on the other side and just did the defensive rotation. Like, I know that's second nature. If you've played under Tibbs, like, you do that or you get benched in the NBA regular season. But, like, Team USA hadn't really been big into defensive rotations and, like, sure, I'll pick you up after you get burned at the three-point line. And that's just kind of what that second unit does a little more. So we'll see. I think we both have Team USA favored in that one. As it pertains to reader questions, we did get a good one from our friend Brandon via email. What are you most intrigued by in this upcoming Bulls season? And, I mean, I like him casting a wide net for us. We can go any direction. Sean, what are you most intrigued by this upcoming season?
I mean, I think the obvious answer is how well Rondo, Wade, and Butler mesh together on the court, and you know how Fred is able to manage those personalities. But so throwing that aside, because that's the obvious answer, and that's like going to be the bulk of what everybody's focused on. So putting
zero in a little more on something.
So putting the three alphas dynamic aside, and I mean we just touched on it. I'm really interested to see how Nico Mirotic play because you have to keep in mind this coming year is a contract year for him. He's going to be a restricted free agent next summer, so he's going to have to play for, you know, he has to prove that. I mean, he's still a guy that people around the league feel like has a lot of potential. He just hasn't lived up to it yet, and he'll probably get a big deal, you know, next summer anyway. But having a whole season where he plays like he did that 1 month, March of 2015.
Then he's going to get real big bucks if he does that. But the thing is, I mean, he's been around $6 million to $7 million annually, I think, in his first...
Five or six.
So, like, you're not looking at a guy right now who's going to have a massive $100 million payday unless he does really big things this season. In which case, obviously, that would come into play a little more. But he has a lot of money at stake this upcoming season with his play. Because if he repeats last year, it's not going to go so well in negotiations, too, because we had the huge cap spike. But now that's not going to keep spiking in the years to come and such. So those teams will dial back, scale back a little bit, and be a little bit more cognizant of just who they're giving money to. And they'll want a guy that, you know, has been consistent and who they still think his prime is in front of him. And Nico's prime's still in front of him, but he hasn't always been consistent yet.
No, absolutely. Do you have anything you want to add in terms of intriguing things? I
always hammer home the point, like, I get a kick out of the off-the-court politics. I mean,
sure.
We were mentioning this the other day, just talking off-air or whatever. Are the Bulls going to have a tribute video for Tom Thibodeau on December 13th? And we're sitting there, and we talked about this for like 5 or 6 minutes, and I stopped and I told you, I was like, is it crazy that it's like mid-August and we're looking at a month, 4 months out, and one of the things that are getting us most fired up are, will the Chicago Bulls have a tribute video for former coach Tom Thibodeau when he makes his once-a-year trip back to United Center with his young Timberwolves, who are a rising group. And we right now, I think we're hedging toward no, but it's still within the realm of possibility. Like, that night, I still think, is going to be the most intriguing game to me on the entire calendar, as it pertains a little bit more to the Bulls. It is kind of that off-the-court stuff, I mean, we'll get a kick out of with the three alphas and just how that all plays out. But I'll say, if you want me to zero in on something, I want to see what Fred Hoiberg can do in year two as a coach. He was not given the optimal personnel for everything in year one. He doesn't have the optimal personnel really in year two either, but this is what the Bulls did, and this is what they gave him. And NBA coaches, remember, are always hired to be fired. We're in an era where they get fired in general, I think, quicker than ever, basically. And he obviously, I think, 5-year, $25 million contract is what it was. So he's got 4 years left on the deal. And, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to get fired or anything with a bad start, but that spotlight is going to be on Fred Hoiberg so much if the Bulls get off to a poor start, if it's not meshing. So what can his basketball mind, which was brilliant offensively for sure at a college level, what he did with Iowa State and some undermanned talent at times, and then making the most out of more talent as he went on there, can he translate that to the NBA talent that he has and mold around them and his talent?
Right, and last year there wasn't really a lot of evidence that he could, but again, like you said, the roster was just not really ideal for him. It was a roster that was essentially the same. There were a couple of rookies that were new, but it was essentially the same roster that was built for Tom Thibodeau, that was built for his strengths, that was defensive, it was, you know, and on the offensive end it was slow, it was built around Pau Gasol.
Noah.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's just opening it up a little bit more. I'm actually interested, and you mentioned Tom Thibodeau a little bit ago, I'm really interested to see how some of the former Bulls players and coaches do in their new situations.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, so Tom Thibodeau, like, we are really intrigued by this Timberwolves team with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, the last two rookies of the year. Chris Dunn, who's a guy I know the Bulls have liked in the past, he's going to be there. He looked real good at Summer League before the concussion. I'm interested to see how Pau Gasol looks in San Antonio. Yeah. He kind of has some big shoes to fill. He's essentially replacing Tim Duncan, who
Hall
retired.
Hall of Fame, top 10 NBA players, maybe top 5 or 6 NBA players.
Top,
I don't know,
10 best players of all time. But yeah, that, you know, that's going to be interesting. And then, you know, obviously, the big one is, you know, how are Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah going to look in New York? And speaking of which, we got some new Derrick Rose quotations.
Yeah, other things of intrigue. On the topic, staying on Brandon's topic, it will be intriguing. to watch Derrick Rose's quotes all year to the New York media from afar. Because remember, Bulls fans, the chaos is not your difficulty anymore that comes along with Derrick Rose trying to express his basketball thoughts and such. If you remember back, I think it was July 22nd or 3rd or something, Derrick Rose made the comment to NBA.com about everyone calling the Warriors and Knicks a super team or super teams. And half of that equation was news to the entire NBA. The New York Knicks being a super team part. As I think Sean's mentioned before, maybe a super team in what, 2011? 2012, somewhere in that.
2011?
Oh, yeah, when Derek was MVP.
2011, the Bulls and the Knicks are both super teams.
Well, Derek recently has been on a trip to Korea.
Yeah.
And
just kind of his typical, you know, every summer a lot of these guys do like these
Asia or overseas quite a few
Asian
times,
countries. I'm assuming this is with Adidas.
Promotional tour of sorts, and he was in front of a lot of fans, and had a microphone, kind of a Q&A thing. It seemed like watching the video online, and he was asked about the super team comments, and he said, "I still believe that. Like I said with that super team term, you got to be very careful, I guess, if you're going to say it in the United States. I feel like if you're on any team in the NBA, you should have the belief in yourself and have confidence in yourself that you're playing on a super team anywhere. I have a lot of confidence, and I'm not taking that back." End quote. So there's a little context at the end. He's saying he always feels like he's on a super team, which is an amazing aside in itself, stemming from last year's Bulls team was like the most opposite thing from a super team that I've ever seen, kind of. But, I mean, what do you make of those comments not doubling down? Or, he is doubling down, not taking them back.
So, I have two things. I like the one part of it. There's two levels of this
there's
that I really love.
There's a lot to this. Okay, so a lot of layers.
So, the first one that I liked was, he said that everybody in the NBA should feel like they're on a super team. Which, it reminds me a lot of when, I think this was during last year's playoffs, after the Warriors beat the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals, Dwight Howard said...
A couple years ago.
Yeah, Dwight Howard said, I feel like, you know, I still feel like I'm a champion even though we lost. So there's that. So it's like, okay, I mean, if you're on the Brooklyn...
How do you figure, Dwight? Like, I'm not following you on that one.
If you're on the Brooklyn Nets, like, do people on the Brooklyn Nets, do just like Sean Kilpatrick? Like, does Sean Kilpatrick feel like the Brooklyn Nets are a super team?
Does Robert Covington feel like the 76ers are a super team?
Well, the 76ers might be more of a super team than the Knicks if Dario Saric and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are all healthy and they're all as good as they're supposed to be, honestly. But so
the other level
that I liked of this was he said, you know, you got to be careful, I guess, if you say this in the United States. And it's like, okay, Derek.
If you're in the United States.
So, like Derek, like, you know that the internet, like, exists and these videos
get the whole globe.
where something was recorded, if you were in Korea saying this, like, people are still gonna see it in the United States. If he was on the moon and he said this, people would say it, would notice it.
Yeah, everything, I mean, that's the era we live in. Everything gets recognized, and, I mean, you gotta give him props for the confidence.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's still, like, it still makes you chuckle. I feel like it's gonna make Knicks fans chuckle. Well, I mean, do you think they're excited and like, heck yes right now? Or do you think they're like, uh-oh, he really thinks this? You know, like, what do you think Knicks fans are going to hear? We might have to get a New York perspective sometime down the line.
We'll get Dubin on at some point. You should check out Locked on Knicks, hosted by our friend Jared Dubin, by the way. He does a very good job with that. But leave them a 5-star review. Leave us a 5-star review.
All the time.
But, I mean, the thing is, all the Knicks fans I know, like, I can't really speak to what, like, the average just kind of casual Knicks fan knows. Yeah. Most of the Knicks fans I know and interact with are, like, bloggers or, like, people who are, like, League Pass obsessives and stuff. And they're all, you know, they're all pretty realistic about this. Like, I mean, some of them are, like, saying, you know, okay, the Rose trade was good. It's worth a gamble. Most of them feel like the Noah contract was too much money and too many years. Most of them feel like, you know, they feel honestly about how you and I feel about the Bulls. Like, they have some interesting pieces, they have a lot of big names, they could make the playoffs, but nobody's expecting them to be, like, a contender.
Yeah, I'm guessing it ties back to what it tied to in Chicago. If Derrick Rose is producing at a high level, is an exciting player, night to night, leading that team, they're going to love him no matter what he says. That's how it was in Chicago. And then when injuries bite you, when you don't play as well, I mean, the tide turns on you. That's sports in general. That's just how it works. So right now, I think they're probably still pretty optimistic, but that'll be something to watch, I suppose.
That's what it kind of was in terms of, like, the him saying stuff and you know, what his perception was. Before the 2010-11 season, he comes out and says, why can't I be the MVP? Yeah. And it's like, okay, this dude has only been in the league for 2 years. You know, he can't, is he really, you know, he's really saying this, you know, when LeBron is clearly the best player in the league? What do you know? He goes out and wins MVP the next year. And everybody says, oh, that's so great. He's so confident. A couple years later, he says
he's still a top elite player, still, and people doubt him in a different way this time.
But it's not just that. It's like he can say some stuff like, it's the kind of thing where he says, like, you know, I'm focusing on my free agency next summer, and it's like, dude, you've missed however many games he missed over the last few years. Like it's all about context. So yeah, I mean, if Derek produces, he can say this kind of silly stuff about the Knicks being a super team. People will go with it. And if he doesn't produce, or if he's injured and he still says stuff like this, people are gonna kind of turn on him.
Who are we to say they're not a super team? You never know what's going to happen, although I would bet against it.
I would too.
Our Revolution 16 asks us via Twitter, and you can send us questions on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. He says, what will Gar Foreman do next summer, speaking of summer 2017, if Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo leave? Will he build on the current youth, or will he try and nab a Chris Paul, Blake Griffin type in free agency? Getting a little ahead of ourselves there, because so much can play out in the next year, and summer 2017 is so dependent on what happens this year too, I believe. But in general, the Bulls should keep chasing really good free agents whenever they have a chance, especially a guy like Blake Griffin, who's in the prime of his career.
See, Blake actually worries me a little bit. I feel like it has the potential to be like an Amari Stoudemire situation, where he's in year 8 or year 9 and he gets a big contract, and then, you know, you get one good year out of him and then he starts to decline physically. And I'm a little bit worried. I mean, I still think he's somebody they should go after if it comes to that, if that's what they're in a position to do. But I wouldn't, you know, I would caution against putting all of your eggs for the entire future prospects in the Blake Griffin basket, because I'm a little bit worried about his next contract. But the one thing I should point out in regards to that question is that if Rondo leaves, it's going to be the Bulls' decision, not his, because they have a team option with about $3 million guaranteed for next season. So if they decide to let him go, they can let him go. If they decide they want to keep him, they can keep him and pay him $14 million
or so.
If they decide they want to move on from him, they are the ones that are going to decide to let him go. So I don't think it's going to be a question of, oh, Rondo left in free agency and left them holding the bag. It's the Bulls kind of control that scenario. Dwayne Wade's a little bit different. He has a player option. If this year doesn't go terribly, I would imagine he's probably going
to
keep it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a guy who uprooted from everything he knew in Miami to come back to his hometown area just to move somewhere else again. You know what I mean? I mean, he's on Snapchat throwing up photos of his dogs at his house.
Yeah.
Loving it. Seems like he's liking the Chicago scene. Now, obviously, been working out west. Two here in the offseason. Dwayne Wade did mention he ramped up his offseason workouts to two-a-days, which means the NBA season's not too far away. It's coming up on us. In another month and a week, we should have some media days, some training camp practices. Is that right, Sean? I think
five or six weeks in
September there.
They haven't announced the actual date of media day yet, but the first preseason game is October 3rd, which is a Monday, and they usually like to have about a week of practices at the start of training camp. So if I had to guess, I think Monday the 26th of September is probably going to be media day. So that's like 5 weeks from now.
The main priority this year: get the starting point guard, everyone healthy through the first practice of the year.
Yeah, let's not
maybe
have any
scale back on the elbows on day one of training
camp. Broken faces.
Because no matter what you want to say about the Bulls last year, Derrick Rose suffering the orbital fracture really hurt him. Because, I mean, it hurt their continuity, but he was still saying in December and maybe even early January, like, he was seeing double at times. Which was just an awful, awful proposition when you're trying to shoot jump shots and you're already not a high percentage jump shooter. So Bulls definitely try to keep everyone healthy in that training camp. Maybe go a little lighter on the fouls near the hoop, something like that. But we'll keep you updated. We'll have another podcast probably dropping sometime this weekend after Team USA. However the Olympics play out after the championship, they'll get Spain in the semifinals. We know Australia's through on the other side of the bracket to a semifinal, still waiting on the other one.
No matter what, we're going to have a Bulls player in the gold medal game, because either the U.S. or Spain is going to be playing in the gold medal game.
And could have a former Bull in Cam Bairstow with Australia in the gold medal game. Could.
Very possible.
We'll see how it plays out. But, as always, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund. Send us advertising inquiries to LockedOnBulls at Gmail. All your basketball questions you can't fit in 140 characters, send them to the email as well. And as always, Sean, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. Where else?
Stitcher, Audio Boom, Google Play, and TuneIn. Make sure, again, the 5-star review is crucial.
Clutch.
It would be great. And again, check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. I think we're up to 23 NFL teams now, 25 NBA teams, plus there's Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball. If you're a Bears fan, check out Locked On Bears.
You know that your fantasy football draft's coming up and you need advice, and picking Bears backup quarterbacks, Bears tight ends, Bears third receivers is not going to be helpful.
No.
So listen to Arthur's podcast to get the lowdown on who on the Bears is going to get the ball. Listen to all the fantasy podcasts for advice. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.